Hello and welcome to Chapter 5, Cyber Security. In this chapter, we are going to discuss about how the cyber crimes and cyber security issues that dominate our world today. We are going to have a proper detailed understanding and how exactly we can, as an organization, how they have to be, which are the things they have to ensure to handle when you are going to go for cyber security and cyber crime. So let us see, as an introduction, we will see. Since the dot-com explosion in the early 2000, information has become integral to personal life, finances and businesses, impacting individual survival and global connectivity. If you see in today's newspaper also, you will be in a position to find out multiple cyber security related issues are happening. There are multiple places where people are getting fraud is happening. Deepfake is there. Deepfake is happening in cyber things. So, how to avoid this particular thing is a different scenario, different big discussions we can have on this particular thing. But for the current chapter, let us understand how exactly, what exactly is cyber security and what exactly are the cyber crimes that are happening in and around us. The ability to generate, manage, use and manipulate information has become a valuable resource, as control over knowledge and ideas is now as important as control over tangible resources like raw materials and military power. Consequently, cybercrime and cyber securities have emerged as crucial national security issues. So today, if you see, this is a major concern for any of the national, any of the country, how to control and how to avoid cyber crime and cyber security issues. So basically, cybercrime involves criminal activities aimed at stealing private information from others' computers. Here are a few definitions of cybercrime as given in various forums to help you get a good understanding. A crime in which a computer is the object of the crime or is used as a tool to commit an offense. Cybercriminals may use computer technology to access personal information, business trade secrets, or use the internet for exploitative or malicious purposes. Criminals can also use computers for communication, document or data storage. Criminals who perform these illegal activities are often referred to as hackers, and the illegal work that they do are categorized as cyber crimes. So recently, for as an information for a Hong Kong based bank, there is a using a deep fake, the crores of money has been transferred by the has been hacked by one of the person. And he was able to actually do a transaction just by deep faking one of the owner of the organization. There are millions of rupees has been transferred using this particular technology. The FBI identifies cybercrime fugitives who have allegedly committed bank fraud and trafficked counterfeit devices that access personal electronic information. The FBI also provides information on how to report cyber crimes as well as useful intelligent information about the latest cyber criminals. Some common examples of cyber crime are as below. We will deal with these in greater detail in the next section. Fraud and identity theft, information warfare, phishing scams, spam, propagation of illegal, obscene or offensive content, including harassment and threats, online bank information theft, identity theft, online predatory crimes and unauthorized computer access. More serious crimes like cyber terrorism are also of significant concern. Crimes that target computer networks or devices. These types of crimes include viruses and denial of service attacks. Crimes that use computer networks to advance other criminal activities such as cyber stalking, phishing and fraud or identity theft. Cybercrime broadly are the few ways and means by which malicious intruders get into your electronic assets. A few cybercrime techniques used by hackers are session hacking, in which case what will happen is that a specific session, you will be logging into the system, you will be taking a session from a specific bank, some other person will hack into the session and do the transaction instead of you, and the person who is doing the transaction will not be aware that some other person has hacked the session and he is proceeding further. So the person will be thinking that his session has been disconnected for some or other reason. DOS, denial of session attack. So in this case, what will happen is that denial of service attacks. In this case, what will happen is that there will be continuous automatic sessions that will be connected to your respective system. And what will happen is that the bank or the organization where this session, this attack is happening, they will not be in a position to actually do a transaction for the actual customer. So as a result, they will be releasing some more other security protocols during that particular time. They will be doing a malicious transaction. Cyber stacking, in this case, what will happen is that the person whoever is doing a transaction will be stalked from the internet, and they will be trying to find out what exactly the user is doing, and they will be on behalf of them, they will start doing the transaction. SQL injection in which case what will happen is that the transaction when they are doing a transaction, instead of doing the password or user ID, they will start writing the SQL query and pushing the transaction into the system. So this will not be a direct user will not be never knowing that, or the bank or organization will not be never knowing that such injection has happened. So how to avoid this particular thing is to ensure that the application is handling the SQL injections. There are tests that will be running. There will be insurance information security team will be running some tests to find out whether any SQL injections are there in the code. Hacking off your Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, very common when you are using public Wi-Fi and public Bluetooth systems. Phishing. In which case, what will happen is that there will be a phishing attack that will be happening using mails, and if you are responding to this particular thing, they will be getting details of your personal information in the phishing attacks. Data diddling, theft of passwords, they will be stealing your passwords. Dissemination of virus and malware, they will be deploying virus and malware in your laptop. Identity theft. Like Aadhaar card, thieving your Aadhaar card details and doing a transaction on behalf of you. Salami slicing attacks, cross-site scripting, spoofing on DNS spoofing, credit card frauds, webjacking, sniffing, email bombing and spamming, logic bombs. So these are DNS spoofing is a major thing that will be happening. What will happen is that the website or URL which you are using, it will be looking like the actual this thing. Say example, a bank's website. That will be a slight change, you will not be in a position to understand. For example, AXIS, instead of that, they will just say AXSI. For a human brain, you will be reading this as AXIS, but actually it will be rerouting you to the entire different site, and the different site will be literally looking like what is the original site. Firstly, there are two categories of attacks, active attack. An active attack is one where the hacker hacks a session. The attacker takes over the session as their own. The attacker is fooling the server into thinking he or she is an authenticated user and manipulating or severing the clients. In many cases, it involves a DOS result on the legitimate client. So these are cases where you are giving the control to the other person and you will not be aware that he has taken the session. Passive attack focuses on monitoring the traffic between the victim and the server. It uses a sniffer utility to capture and monitor the traffic. Passive attacker does not tamper with the session in any way, rather is only setting it up for future malicious attacks activities. In other words, he or she is creating a strategic position for future leverage. Such attacks can capture and analyze all the traffic and all details of the user. So in these cases, what will happen is that user is just learning how exactly you are doing the transaction. So from here, he studies how the user is doing the transaction, and accordingly, he will create one more transaction. There will be sniffers put by the person to study how exactly the user, maybe user ID, maybe the password. This is the reason why there is a need for the person to change the password at a frequent interval. So next comes the role of a cookie in a cybercrime. I think you are aware of what exactly is a cookie about. The cookie is a thing that is getting stored temporarily in the machine and for the benefit of the program. But what will happen is that the cookies, when they are exposed to the third party, the person who is stealing the data from your system, it gives an information on how exactly you are doing the transaction. So that is the reason why in information security, there are rules that are mentioning why you should not use cookie for storage of important personal reasons. Cookies are basically messages that web servers pass on to your web browser when you visit any internet site. Your browser stores such message in a small file called cookie.txt. Without the inclusion of cookies, it will be next to impossible to create applications that rely on the ability to maintain state information across stateless protocols such as HTTP. Cookies are necessary for the functioning of an unimaginable number of web applications. However, they can also be a potential liability. Cookies are one of the commonly used methods by malicious users to attack a computer. So what actually needs to be done in this case? You have to clean your cookies at a regular interval. Every cookie thing has its own web side effects, which we can see in the cookies also. Therefore, for an attacker, the cookie is a convenient piece of software to gain access to an application through session hijacking or similar means. Attacks such as XSS or sniffing easily capture cookie information. The HTTP was never designed for maintaining state information and cannot track off state information across multiple requests. Therefore, an application running over a stateless protocol needs a cookie to maintain and track state information. So without a cookie, a normal application also cannot function, which is being hijacked by the hijackers and ensure that they are able to do a transaction on behalf of you. Consider an example. You log into an Amazon site to shop and select an item and add it to the cart. As you find other items, the process repeats. As it is going on, behind the scenes, the cookie stores information about what items has been added to your cart. Amazon uses an instruction in HTTP called setCookie, which is sent to the browser as to the cookie. So without the cookie, Amazon will not be in a position to understand which are the transactions, which are the things you have added to the cart. The browser transmits this information back to the application for each subsequent request, informing the application about what the user has done. Is to add items to their cart is in different quantities, prices, colors, and such. As you can see, without the cookie, the process would be difficult and very different. The time that is going to be taken without a cookie will be much more, and with the cookie. So, what is hacking? Let us discuss about what is hacking about. Before we go into understanding different types of cyber crimes and cyber security, let us understand the commonly used term hacking. In simple words, hacking is an act committed by an intruder by accessing your computer system without your permission. Hackers are people doing the hacking, basically computer programmers. They have excellent knowledge of computers and commonly misuse this knowledge for devious reasons. They are usually technology buffs who have expert level skills in one particular software program or language. So these people will just hack your session or the computer and they will do the transactions to their benefit. There are different types of hackers. One such hackers are called some black hat hackers. Also try to modify your system so that they can execute tasks at their whims. Such hackers who display a destructive conduct are called crackers or black hat hackers. These are more dangerous of the people. White hat hackers are those who are only interested in computer hacking as an intellectual job. They attempt to break into network systems purely to alert the owners of flaws. So they are people who wants to ensure that or have to prove that they are intelligent than other people and ensure that you are improving your system. They are white hat hackers. They are white hat hackers and are hired by security agencies to identify and fix holes in their computer and network systems. Some of the cybercrime techniques frequently adopted by hackers are stealing user IDs and password or using the vulnerabilities in a system to gain access, falls under the category of theft of access, and the stealing of services and resources that the person who would otherwise not be given access to. Network intrusions is essentially digital trespassing, where a person goes into a computer that he would otherwise not have been given access to, a violation of the network. Just like a person walking into your home, these people will be walking into your computer and do an intrusion. There are some genuine examples of cybercrime. Social engineering is both a very simple and also a very complex form of hacking by going after the computer's or network's weakest point, the human element. Posting and or transmitting illegal material has become a common and yet difficult problem to solve and handle in recent times. With almost the entire world on the internet and spread of social media and various internet-based services, illegal material are being spread across national borders in extremely short periods of time. Fraud is a deception of another party or parties to elicit information to access, typically for financial gain or to cause damage. Software piracy is a position duplication or distribution of software in violation of a license agreement or act of removing copy protection or other license enforcing mechanisms. This has become a massive problem with the rise of file sharing services. The main impact of software piracy is loss of IPR. So software piracy like stealing music also becomes a software piracy, or recording a movie from a theater is also a software piracy. Dumpster diving is gathering material that has been discarded or left in unsecured or left in unguarded waste baskets is the oldest and simplest way to gather unauthorized information. Often discarded data can be pieced together to gain sensitive information. This is very much important. What will happen is that you just throw something into the dumpster, into dump yard, and from there people gather material and they will start doing a transaction on behalf of you. Malicious code refers to items such as viruses, worms, spyware, adware, rootkits and other types of malware. This crime covers any type of software deliberately written to wreak havoc and destruction of or disruption. Embezzlement is financial fraud or theft or reduction of funds by violating a position of trust. The crime has become easier by extensive computation of all financial institutions. So what has happened is that earlier cases, this much computation was not there. But today, financial institution has been computerized to that much big extent that crime has become so easier and people are doing so financial frauds that are happening. Now also you might have seen QR code from UPI can be used for collection and payment of some other person. People just use this particular thing for collection of funds also. And just they will simply send the QR code to you and you will just make the on this particular thing, you will just make the payment. Various actually it is a collection QR code instead, sorry, payment QR code instead of collection QR code. Data diddling is an unauthorized modification of data before or during entry into a computer system and then changing it back after processing is done. Using this technique, the attacker may modify the expected output and it's difficult to track original information to be entered is changed. Example of it, some data diddling is doing a transaction. Okay, when you are in a banking terminology, when you are going to hit from your computer to the server, you are saying that one account has to be debited, other account has to be credited. When you are in between the transaction, I'm just doing a data diddling. I'll just make it as instead of credit, it will be a debit, and debit it will be a credit. So this is called as data diddling. At the end user will not be aware that the such thing changes happened. Denial of service and distributed denial of service attacks are ways to overload a system's resources, so it cannot provide the required service to legitimate users. DOS can render a website totally inoperable by pumping out massive amounts of data or traffic to multiple target sites to the extent that a site may crash completely. Ransomware is a relatively newer class of malware that is designed to hunt down and encrypt files on a target system. Once such files are found, the code will encrypt the data and then demand the victim to pay money to get their data back. It is essentially electronic blackmail. These kind of things are happening very frequently nowadays, and people are supposed to be are asking them to make the payment by cryptocurrencies. SQL injection is a technique that hackers use to attack any type of unprotected or improperly protected SQL database, leveraging the security vulnerabilities of software that runs a website. The technique enters portions of SQL code into a web form entry field, usually the user ID and password, that gives access to the site backend or user account. So how this has to be handled is that through application, this has to be handled and ensure that the special values which will be used for SQL, writing the SQL code will not be allowed there. XSS or cross-site scripting is a very easy way of circumventing a security system that involves injecting a web page with a malicious client-side script. When you visit this web page, the script is automatically downloaded to your browser and executed. Typically, HTML, JavaScript, VBScript, ActiveX, or Flash are injected into a vulnerable application that deceives the users and gathers confidential information. Virus dissemination. A virus is a small computer program that attaches itself to and infects a system or files, and then circulates itself throughout the computer and transmits itself to other computers on the network. Worms are another form of virus, but they do not need a host, but just multiply itself until they eat up all available memory in the system. self-replicated malware are also called as bombs. In this case, what will happen is that user will not be in a position to do a transaction. The memory will be on the higher side and it will be, system will be crashing out. Trojan horses are another form of virus in the damage they cause, but are different in that they masquerade as a legitimate file such as an email attachment that looks genuine. So these are through the email attachments, they will be, Trojan horses will be multiplying or they will be getting inserted into your system. Phishing extracts confidential information such as credit card numbers and username password composed by masquerading as a legitimate user using email spoofing. So user will be not be aware that it is a person is trying to phish your data, just like phishing, just trying to find out whether he can get the data. These phishing attacks will happen. Email bombing and spamming is that type of cybercrime in which huge volumes of email are sent to an email account or to email servers to crash them. These are usually meaningless messages just to consume network resources. Webjacking derives its name from hijacking. It is a method of attack that is used to create a clone of a website and presents to the victim with a new link saying that the site has been moved. By such a method, the hacker takes control of a website fraudulently and may change the content of the original site or even redirect the user to another fake similar looking page controlled by him, and the attacker uses the website for his own selfish interest. So this kind of things usually happen when there is a war that is happening between two different countries. In these cases, the other person will be, the people will be taking control of the enemy country and they will be doing the website changes. Here are some salami slicing attacks. Is a technique by which cyber criminals steal money or resources over a period of time so that it goes unnoticed. However, the perpetrator accumulates considerable resources over a period of time. The key to the success of this is the failure to detect the misappropriation. The typical approach is collect the round-off. So let us discuss about what is the psychology of cybercrime. Why is someone has to do a cybercrime, or how exactly, what exactly will be running in the minds of the people who are doing a cybercrime? While cybercrime is an ever increasing threat to the security of computer systems, even complex security systems that are being developed find it increasingly difficult to thwart the often ingenious, sophisticated and complex break-in methods used by hackers and catch the offenders. Like we said, hackers are 10 or 20 steps ahead of the people who are non-hackers. This takes us the theory of understanding the psychology of cyber attacker and applying psychological profiling to the type of cyber crimes. This field is termed cyber forensics or computer forensics and involves study, analysis and understanding the crime, the electronic device evidence the hacker leaves, its trails and trends, its identification, extensive data collection, recording and using it to narrow down and identify the hacker. The key element in the methodology is psychological profiling to draw up a psychological description of a hacker. This field is expertise is called investigative psychology. The process includes creation of a database and its continuous update with data that describes the important characteristics of and manifestations of behavior of an unknown perpetrator. While hackers rely on the anonymity of the internet, they do leave behind signatures which can be identified over a period, such as their individual techniques, skill levels, the software used, motivation and the modus of operation and the area of operation. This is used for the study of psychology of the criminals and ensure that at a future date, they will be in a position to catch hold of these particular people and avoid the such crimes. There are two types of computer crime situations that investigators are confronted about. One, where a network incident occurs, for example, in network break-in, but the hacker is not a previously known entity. Another situation where both the types of crimes of and hackers are largely known, for example, financial fraud or child pornography. In both above cases, cybercrime analysts use a method called deductive profiling using a psychological profile of the unknown offender and narrow it down to a small group of suspects and then follow it up with the criminal investigators from the police department. So based on the studies that has been happened with the psychology studies that has happened on the people who are hacking or trying to do a cybercrime, the following are the five personality traits that has been identified till now. Neuroticism, extroversion, openness, agreeableness, and conscientiousness. The five important and inherent traits of hackers are personality, extroversion or introversion dimension, and this determines the methodology of attack. Social skills, generally, hackers are found to have low social skills. Intelligence hackers are generally people of very high IQ. They are people with rich fantasies and a need to subordinate others. Inherently risk-takers, with a tendency to take unnecessary risk. Most hackers have a combination of intelligence and excellent technical skills. Typically, they are people who have a disrespect for legal norms and have a feeling that law is outside their reach or beyond them. They are strongly motivated for varying reasons, from entertainment to gain material goods, political motives, etc. They have a higher than average IQ and high analytical and technical skills and problem-solving abilities. Addiction to the internet directly relates to the effectiveness of an attack, or have had brilliant adolescence and fallouts of a bad education system. They usually originate from pathological families. They are rebels against all symbols and authorities. Any business in any part of the world today has a 1 in 2 chance of experiencing a cybersecurity breach at some point or other of their existence. In the 21st century, there have been 14 such major cybersecurity breaches, all big corporates and governments who spend millions of dollars on implementing and upgrading their IT security assets. However, as in most cases, the breach starts with a human failure. So if we compare 21st century, where we are in 24 years from 21st century, we had 14 means, no, that is around more than once in two years. The best instance is John Podesta and the DNC breach in 2016. So what can be done to minimize cyber breaches? I'm intentionally saying minimize cyber breaches, because just as technology advances, there will be hackers who will find those small loopholes for an attack. So you cannot say that I will stop cyber breaches. You can minimize. That is the only way around. And let us look at some of the conservative right steps that has to be done by any organization or individuals. The right strategy, the most important strategy in effective cybercrime protection, should be the following two-pronged approach: preventing physical access to sensitive data and rendering that data useless if it falls into the wrong data hands. So proper encryption should be there in the data that is getting stored. Secure hardware. Data breaches commonly occur due to stolen equipment. Therefore, safeguarding your hardware is an important strategy in improving your company protection. So before, you should not be just as soon when you are completing your database or your, if you are going to have a database that is going to be eliminated from the entire system due to no warranty, or you are saying that the specific database out of warranty, then you have to go to the new database or new data storage. You have to, before throwing out this particular thing, you have to remove the data and you have to break the data storage to ensure that it is unusable. Identity user and identity your essential data, the essential information that your business could not function without. So this particular thing as a essential data. And this essential data should not be going outside for any reasons. Encrypt and backup. Restricted access to data backup. Ensure that they are not permanently connected to your LAN. Ransomware or any other malware can move automatically to attached storage devices. Therefore, backups can also be infected if they remain connected. So always have a restricted data to the data backup. It should not be, everyone should not be in a position to access the data backup. Encrypt your wireless networks. Encryption of wireless networks ensures that the data sent on your wireless device becomes scrambled and the transmission is unreadable to hidden technologies. This is one of the most important to-dos to prevent cybercrime. Restrict network admin rights and access rights to a small handful of users. This is invaluable in minimizing the risk of data breaches, as employees cannot give away information they do not have access to. So network admin rights is very important, and like we discussed in the network security discussions chapters, you have to have a proper network security policies. Antivirus, needless to say, and all organizations have this. However, ensure that antivirus is installed and getting updated on all devices on the employees. Regular patches and upgrades. Ensure that patches and upgrades for OS and all softwares are not delayed. They must be distributed and installed without delay. You should have a general policies around this particular thing. And no option should be provided to employees to delay download and installation of patches. This is one of the biggest loopholes. So there are some cases where employees will be in a position to stop the installation of patches or stop the antivirus for some reason. This particular thing should not be allowed, and admin should be having a control over this particular thing rather than employees. Employees basically should not have the admin controls for the laptops which they are having. Block all physical ports, USB drives, DVD drives, etc. Employees frequently download music for personal entertainment at the workplace, and these always bring malware that create DOS or DDoS attacks. Configure accounts to reduce the impact of an attack. Configure the accounts of your employees on the principle of least privilege. If the person is having more privilege, he will be in a position to download many things in the system, and it will create malware and DOS attacks. This means staff is given only the lowest level of user rights required to perform their jobs. So if they are the victim of a phishing attack, the potential damage is reduced.